They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
This is On The Commons with your host, Sue Bartholomew. On The Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining me on The Commons today, we have Donna Carver. Donna lives in Texas, and Donna is one of these wise people who decided when she was buying a house that she really and truly did not want to be in a mandatory membership homeowners association. So she went out of her way. She specifically requested a non-HOA property. Donna, tell us a little bit about what happened to you. And you thought you bought a house that was not in an HOA.
That is correct. Actually, what we did was, we looked into some properties that were outside of the city limits, actually in a completely different county than the county that currently in this area where we live was predominantly a homeowners association county. There were several homeowners associations that we had heard several bad things about these places, and so we looked into this different county. And we went out to look at this particular property. We talked with the real estate agent on the property several times before going out there. We asked if there was a homeowners association in this area, and because there were other houses and homes in that area, and it isn't a subdivision, but it's in the country. It's kind of outside the city limits, so it's. We kind of expected that we were outside the city limits and in this country area, not really part of the city, that looking in that area, we would not find a homeowners association. And so talking with the real estate agent and talking with the home builders that were out there, they all assured us that there was no homeowners association in that area.
The builders also assured you there were no homeowner associations.
The builders assured us there was no homeowners association. The home builder that we chose to build our house told us that there was no homeowners association. And we asked that question point blank, and they said there was no homeowners association. In fact, they told us that if there was a chance of having a homeowners association there, that it was in the long time, you know, future, and that we would have to, there would be some voting and all of this and sorts, so that might have to go on before one would ever come out into that area. So
basically, you bought your,
there was not going to be one.
So you bought your property that was not subject to an association.
That's right. And we looked at the county that we were looking in. In fact, I even went back to some of my paperwork and looked over what my husband and I did to try to find this place. There's some rules within the city, and we looked at those things and just double-checked that none of the rules applied to this particular lot and this particular area that we were moving into, because it didn't have the population in this county. This county has a lower population, you know, less than 3 million people in the county and that sort of thing. So, you know, homeowners associations aren't required in that area. So that's why we picked this county and this lot to build our home. And we lived there for a few months, And all of a sudden we got in the mail some bylaws and information on a homeowners association. And this was after we had been in the house almost 9 months.
So,
and a bill for homeowners association dues.
And this was retroactive to when you first started, or this was right at the bill was for that time. Did the bill go back to when you first bought the house?
Yes, the bill was back to the dues from we moved in January, and the bill was issued for the July through the next June bill. So they were asking for the dues from the July through the next June. Yeah.
So wait a minute, you bought in the middle of that?
We bought in the middle of that. We bought and moved into our home in January.
And so they wanted you to pay the dues for the 6 months before you owned the house? Am I understanding what you're saying?
That is correct. That is correct.
So, wow.
Yes.
That's
we're saying that we owed the dues for that time. And so we obviously disputed that and have continued to dispute that. And we continue to get bills, obviously, from the Homeowners Association for, you know, every July through June that we've lived in the home. We moved into the home in 2004. It's now 2008, and they've continually billed us for Homeowners Association dues that we don't owe.
Well, you know what, folks, if you live in Texas, this is very, very important, and you need to pay attention to this. When I talked to Donna the other day and she told me this, I said, oh, come on, Donna. You know, they can't, because the reason that the association has to record the documents, record the association, record the restriction in the land records is because it provides you with constructive notice. And I gotta tell you, Donna, I talked to an attorney today from Texas, and he said, in Texas, the law has been rewritten that your house is subject to an association that either exists when you buy it or is imposed on you after you've bought the house. I think that that is quite scary, because it's a right that you own that's being taken away from you.
Absolutely, because we wouldn't have bought the house, and we wouldn't have gone to the trouble of selecting the house that we selected and moved into the house that we thought we would never have to sell or move out of. Or, I mean, this was going to be the last house that we bought. My husband and I have been married for 16 years. We have our children who are growing and now going to college, and this was going to be our retirement house. And you know, we built it the way that we wanted it, and we had hoped that this, as our children go off to college, that this is the house that, you know, we live in and grow old in. And now it's turned into a nightmare for us, because we're hating our neighbors, and we're hating the situation that we're in. And, you know, where the Homeowners Association is, sends us terrible, nasty letters and threatening, you know, things, threatening to put a lien on our house and foreclose on our home because we are not paying dues and fees and fines and things that they've done. And we did not want to be in a situation like this with these type of people and this type of, you know, dictatorship that we have with these homeowners associations and these people. And the people that moved in and are the board of directors of the Homeowners Association moved in after and bought homes after my husband and I bought our home there. So, you know,
they're
not even people that we know.
So these people moved in after the fact, mm-hmm. and basically took away a right that you had, which mm-hmm. was not to be part of an association.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now threatening to file a lien against you. They're fining you. They're assessing you fees. Do you have any common areas, any common property there? Is there anything there that would require some kind of an organization, some kind of a corporation to manage and maintain it? Or
well, that is the whole question, I think, that came down from the the builders. When the builders finally finished building all the homes on all the lots that they wanted to build in that area, which was, you know, after we moved in and after this time period passed, that was when they decided that there was suddenly some common area. And I think that was the area that the builders were maintaining, that the first front entrance area to the main road that enters into this little subdivision. That entrance area is now called the common area, and it's basically a little flower bed that is next to the turn in, and that's it.
That's
and,
it. So it's basically
That's all there is to maintain is the flower bed. This is it goes beyond because this homeowners association of ours that has imposed itself upon us took upon itself to purchase the lot that was behind all of this and has decided that they're going to make this lot a playground area and whatnot. And so they took out a loan from a bank and to purchase one of the lots in this subdivision. And so now we have a lot to maintain, which is all now part of the common area because the homeowners association purchased it.
So they took out a loan. What? Wow.
Yeah.
Of course now your house is being held hostage to pay for that loan.
Exactly, because it's part of the homeowners association and now we have to pay for this loan, and this lot was $28,000.
How many homes do you have in your association?
There's a little over 200 homes in this area that we live in. And what you have to understand is if you drive outside of town and then all of a sudden you come upon this little spot and that's where our subdivision is. So it's kind of like we're really outside of anything. We're on the way to the next town on a highway. We're off of one of the highways, and you just kind of turn off the highway, and there's this all of a sudden, here's the subdivision. And that's kind of why we chose it, because it was way out of the way of everything. It was in between. It was, you know, it wasn't part of any city limits. It's in the county. You know, it shouldn't have a homeowners association because it's not, it wasn't required. We checked into it. It was not required.
And so here you
really
are stuck with one.
But now we're stuck with it. Exactly.
You were telling me the other day, and then you end up with a management company. There's no common area. What about services? Like, who picks up your trash? Who takes care of the street? Do you have street lights? These are typically things that have traditionally been the job of the local municipal government. That's what your property taxes were initially designed to pay for.
And that is correct.
And then it was kicked out and said, oh, well, we're going to privatize this. We're going to let the homeowners handle it through the association. But not everywhere does that. Who picks up? Do you pay for your trash separately? Does the county pick it up? The city? The local jurisdiction? Who owns the street that your house is on?
The local government does.
The local government does, and they pick up your trash?
That is correct.
So you're getting...
None of that comes from the Homeowners Association.
So you're getting actually one of the lucky people who are actually getting something for your tax dollars, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. When the street lights go out, the Homeowners Association is not allowed to take care of it. In fact, the Homeowners Association tried to put up a sign. This is a little while ago, and I'm glad you brought that up. they wanted to put up a sign that said, you know, slow down, children are playing here, those kind of signs that you've seen around other neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Because they wanted people to slow down when they went into the neighborhood. And so the Homeowners Association went and purchased for $400 a sign that said, slow down, children at play. And they went to put it up. They went to dig a hole and put it up on the street.
On government-owned property.
On government-owned property. And what happened was the city came out and was furious because they did that, and they made them take it down and told them, fined them, and told them that they were not allowed to put up anything on the streets because the streets did not belong to them.
So
I know for a fact that the Homeowners Association does not have anything to do with street maintenance, light maintenance, anything of that nature. And the TXU, the Texas, electric company, handles all of the streetlight maintenance because we've had one of the streetlights fall down before in one of the storms that we've had out here, and TXU has come out and replaced the streetlight, actually put it back up and they own it. So they own the streetlights.
They own it, and it's paid for and maintained and all of that out of your tax dollars.
There is nothing that the Homeowners Association needs to do with those dues that they're collecting except replant flowers in that flower bed up at the front.
Okay, so you could pick up a few extra flowers when you go to the nursery and stick them in there, so you don't really need a whole association.
And that is what about 200 homeowners who live in this area have said, and that is why over 200 of us are not participating in the Homeowners Association, because we all agree that we should not have had a Homeowners Association here. Many of us bought homes before the Homeowners Association came into, you know, forcing us to be in, and we all agree that we didn't sign up for a Homeowners Association. We bought out here knowing that there wasn't going to be a Homeowners Association, and we do not want to participate in the Homeowners Association. And so many people are refusing, you know, to pay or participate, and you know, that is basically the majority of the people who live in our subdivision do not want to participate. In fact, there's about 60 people who actually participate, 60 homes that actually participate in the Homeowners Association out of the 200 homes that live there.
So 140 want nothing to do with it.
That's absolutely correct.
And 60, so you've got the tyranny of the minority, right, Donna?
That's right. But these 60 people have hired this management group to come after the other 140 of us. And
what's the management? Who's the management group?
It's Associa Principal Management Group.
That Associa Principal Management Group is, I believe, owned by Senator John Corona.
And that I did not know.
He owns it. He's written all the laws in Texas. Folks, if you live in Texas, you need to know this. And you need to know when you go vote for your next, you know, vote for your next representative and decide if this is how you want to live, because it's your home that's at risk here. So what does the management company do for you? There's no contracts to manage. There's no common area. There's no street maintenance. There's no recreational facilities. There's really no need for any of it. So what are they doing? What is their job? What are they getting paid for?
My understanding, the only thing that we've seen them do of the people that have talked to me is that they are pulling the deeds and all of the background information on all of the homeowners who are not paying their dues and filing liens on their houses.
So it sounds like you have a management company that's there to make sure that you pay your assessment so that you can have a management company. There's no real benefit to the homeowners, is there?
Nope, and that is all that we are seeing. And what I have gotten from the management company is threatening letters, fines for having grass in my flower bed, fines for having weeds in my front yard grass, fines for parking on my front lawn when I was trying to unload something from my pickup truck. That's all I've gotten from them is a letter with a fine or a letter saying that they were going to foreclose on me or a letter saying they were applying a lien or a threatening letter saying that if I didn't pay them, the Homeowners Association dues, that they were going to take the next step.
That sounds threatening.
Yes.
We're told often, Donna, that you need a homeowners association because it protects, it sort of makes a community out of the neighborhood. It fosters a sense of community togetherness, gives you an identity, but most of all, the one scare tactic that is used more often is that it protects property values. Do you feel that your house is worth more to you living under these conditions than you would if, say, you did not have the association?
I think at this point my house is unsellable because of this homeowners association.
Unsellable?
I think it is unsellable. I think that if I put my house on the market at this point with the homeowners association and the things that have gone on in that neighborhood with what is known at this point, I would be unable to sell my home. That is what I think has happened.
Are you saying that you don't think anybody will want to move in?
I think no one would want to move into this neighborhood because of this homeowners association.
Wow, we're talking to Donna Carver. Donna is a homeowner in Texas, and Donna spent a lot of time looking for her dream home that did not include an association. In fact, she was told by the realtor who sold her the property that there was no association. She was told by the builder there was no association. One of the first clues for you is that when you get your chain of title and at settlement, you're told there's an association. That did not happen. In fact, there was no association. The association was then recorded after the fact, or you seem to think when I talked to you the other night, Donna, that it was might have been recorded in the adjoining county, but not in the same jurisdiction you're in.
It's possible. And I have researched it since we had previously talked, and I pulled my deed of trust on my property. And as I looked through the deed, there's a statement, there's an area in the deed where it asks that particular question about there being a homeowners association associated with it. And I happen to have that right here in front of me, and I'm going to tell you there's a checkbox section on the deed. And there's a spot that allows them to check whether or not a homeowners association existed on this deed prior to the purchase. And that box is not checked on my deed of trust.
So it doesn't, usually there's language, and I don't know about Texas. You guys do things differently. Somebody told me that in Texas they have Texas-sized problems, and this I would really classify as a Texas-sized problem. But usually it says something, you know, this deed is subject to the recorded restrictions, you know, deed book, page number, blah, blah, blah. And so you know when you buy into it that you cannot have grass in your flower bed. I mean, come on, you know, that's just so terrible. Your property values are going to plummet. But you say because of the association, your house is unsellable. So I can't see how that's going to work. But anyway, it's kind of scary, Donna, that in Texas, you can buy your house and you buy the right to grow grass in your flower bed. And you buy the right to back your pickup truck on your lawn to load it or unload it, and then suddenly your neighbors take that right away from you?
That is right. And what if grass was what I wanted to grow in my flower bed? What if I was not going to have a flower bed anymore and I was going to change that back into a grassy area? But I was continually fined for that.
How much were the fines?
$25.
Per day, per
occurrence? Per day.
$25 per day?
$25 per day until I remove the grass.
And did you remove the grass?
Yeah, about a week later.
And did you pay the fine?
I just didn't have time. No, I did not pay the fine.
Good. So how much do you owe in fines?
About $595 in fines.
Wow. So your property values went down by almost $600 right there.
That's just in the fines. And then I've been living there since 2004. It's now 2008. The Homeowners Association dues have elevated. They've gone up over the years. Initially, they were $150. The second year, they were $182. They are now $205 per year. So I owe for each one of those years subsequently.
So that you can pay a management company, just so that the management company can collect your assessments.
That's right. And the reason that they're going up is because people aren't paying the dues. So the wise and completely idiotic is what I mean, not really wise, I'm saying that sarcastically, financial person who was elected by the board to the Homeowners Association decided that the people who are paying should pay more for their dues to cover the people who aren't paying so that we could hire this management company and go after the people who aren't paying with liens and fines and that sort of thing. I mean, the people who are on the board of the Homeowners Association just completely do not understand the meaning of community and the meaning of togetherness and the meaning of what you said was what was supposed to make the Homeowners Association great and what was supposed to help the Homeowners Association help the homeowners, which is to bring us together as a community. And these people are not doing that. And we can't get them off of the board because now that they've hired the Associate Principal Management Group, the management group insists that we actually follow the bylaws, which they weren't doing before, and that we have a quorum of the homeowners. That means two-thirds of the homeowners have to be present at the voting in order to vote in new board members.
And, of course, most of you are not paying your assessment, so that automatically excludes you.
That automatically precludes us. That's right.
And takes away your voting rights. That's another property right.
And that is correct, ma'am. And so we cannot vote out of office because we choose not to participate. And the people who are in office can't get us to participate because they hired this Associate Principal Management Group to come after us like bullies and try and break our legs or whatever you want to call it to get us to pay.
Wow. That's absurd. That's absolutely absurd. So what are your plans now?
We're trying to organize the ones of us who are really against the whole situation. And there's the five people who live in my direct vicinity that I can see from my house. The five of us have met on a regular basis to work on the things that I'm doing with you today, like getting on the radio and talking about this. We've participated in a television expose that we got on television on February the 13th with WFAA-TV here in Dallas. And we want to try to expose what they're doing. We're going to continue to try and do that. I've sent letters to Senator Wentworth in Houston, who has actually tried to help us with putting forth an initiative of taking away some of the rights of the homeowners associations in being able to put forth fines and taking these fines into the liens against our property. This was a bill that he put forward in the last legislature, and so we were trying to work with him. I've tried to.
What happened, Donna? Did the bill pass?
It fell before committee. It did not make it through.
Who was on the committee? Do you know?
I don't have that paperwork in front of me, but I do. But he did get it into committee, and I hope to support him in getting that back up for Senate vote again in this 81st legislature. I would really like to see that go through, where the homeowners associations are not allowed to include the fines that they are charging to us as part of the lien that they put against our home.
I've got to tell you, you know, that's great, because a lot of states, and Virginia unfortunately is one of them, but a lot of states will give associations the power to fine you and then to foreclose non-judicially to collect that fine. Some states have said, now wait a minute, you can foreclose judicially or non-judicially to collect an assessment, a legitimate assessment, but you may not foreclose to collect a fine. What some enterprising associations are doing, and so for anybody listening out there, make sure you pay attention to this, because what they're doing is, if you pay your assessment, they're applying that assessment to the fines and then saying, whoops, you owe your assessment and we can foreclose to collect the assessment. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to go on and tell you that two states, including Virginia, have found that fines are an unconstitutional delegation of a police power. The Constitution calls for a separation of the powers, and we've covered this. I've had Frank Short on. We've done two or three shows on fines. If you're going to be working with legislators, start telling them, you know, it's absolutely absurd that your neighbors should be allowed to fine you for any reason. If you've got something really bad on your property, you know, then get the real government involved. But try to kill fines altogether. Try to make sure that fines are banned. Don't accept them.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's like the camel getting the camel's nose under the tent flap. You don't want them there.
Right, exactly.
They shouldn't fine you. Whether they can foreclose to collect the fine or not, they should not be fining you. These are your neighbors, Donna.
I realize that.
These are your neighbors who are going to decide.
Our neighborhood that we wanted to move into. And it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing that this is the neighborhood that we live in, and that these are the kind of people that my children are around and that we thought would be our friends and people that we would do things with and be companions with, and what turned out to be just very evil and deceitful people. And we're very, very disheartened by that.
What are some of your neighbors saying? I mean, the ones who don't want the association, the ones who are not participating, have they got any plans for doing anything? I mean, don't get me wrong, Donna, I think the best thing you can do is put it out there on the skyline, because you cannot fight this in the dark. But do you have any other plans beyond getting this out, getting your story out?
We've made several attempts to contact some attorneys that are local to try and take our case. And we want to sue the Homeowners Association for the things that you've talked about today, for fining us things, for being imposing upon us things that should not be imposed on us with relative to the private property issue. I have contacted Governor Perry's office. Their office has provided me with lots of information. Governor Perry is very interested in the private property aspect of the homeowners associations not being able to impose upon our private property. And they've sent me their information about that, and I want to use that here in this situation and get an attorney to help us with that.
So
I want to go against Chicago Title, the company that did not disclose to us that the Homeowners Association was there, and I want to go back. I've looked at my title paperwork. They never disclosed that information to us. They never gave us anything about the dues. I want to go back. All of us went through the same title company. We want to go back to them, and we want to say, why did you not disclose this information to us?
But the thing is, Donna, if in fact Texas law says that you can come in after the fact and impose an association, then you know, that I find particularly disturbing. I want to go back. I didn't realize that you'd been in contact with Governor Perry. If Governor Perry is, in fact, that concerned with private property rights, is there any way that he would entertain a notion of having the Attorney General, the Texas Attorney General, get involved in all of this?
He did refer me in some of the paperwork that he sent. He sent me a big packet of paperwork, and he did refer me to some things at the Attorney General's office, and I did write to the Attorney General's office, but I didn't get anything back from them. So I'm not sure. Honestly, I just haven't followed up with that. What my neighbors are looking for is a leader, and I'm trying to be a leader for them. But at the same time, I'm just one person, and I'm just a homeowner, and I'm just a mom, and I'm just a wife, and so I'm trying to do as much as I can. But I have a job, and I have I have four children, and I have a husband, and I have things that I need to do, and there is just not enough time in the day, and I need help. And so I'm looking at, I have gotten help from Texas HOA reform, which is kind of how I got to you a little bit.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking for all the help that I can, and, you know, honestly, we're really very infantile. We're trying to get organized and fight back.
First of all, you're not just anything. Somebody once told me, Phil Testa from Nevada, and I think he's right. He said that it's the maternal, it's the female who's going to end up saving us from this horrible situation, because they are so protective. I mean, it's your nest. You just don't invade your nest. It's your family. You are a mom. You're a nurturer by nature, and you will be taking care of your family and your nest. So it's the women that these people have got to really watch out for. So don't ever put yourself down as I'm just a mom and just a wife. You are a formidable lady and a force to be reckoned with.
And I want to be. And I want to stand up, but I do realize limitations with that, in that I need help, and I need help from my fellow homeowners to step in and step up and bring forth, you know, their complaints. And we need to come as a united front, against those who are, doing these things to us. One of those is our own neighbors. And the other is Associate Principal Management Group. We need to step up against them and take legal action against what they're doing.
I wish you all the luck. On the Commons, it's available.
Thanks.
And we'll follow up on this. So I hope you'll keep in touch.
Absolutely.
And let me know how you're making out.
Thank you.
And good luck.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me today.
Thanks. Don't go away. We'll be back with plenty more, and we'll still be talking. WBR Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and joining us during this half of the show, we have, still from Texas, we have Sherry Terry and Ray Leach, their neighbors. They are having problems in their association as well. And a little bit like Donna, there's really no rhyme or reason to have an association. Am I correct? Thank you. First of all, thank you for joining me. And am I correct in that there's really no real need for an association where you are?
Absolutely. That's very true. We have done research in our neighborhood and found out that we have no common areas whatsoever in our neighborhood. And we have done extensive research, gone down to the city.
I need you, Sherry, I need you to come a little bit closer to the phone, please.
Okay, we've done extensive research in our neighborhood. We have no common areas. We've pulled the plot plans. We've gone down to the city. We've talked to the city. And we have determined, along with the HOA, they are in agreement with us now that we do have no common areas. Yet we continue to have an HOA.
Was the HOA, did you know about the HOA when you bought your house?
Yes, I did.
So it was recorded. I just found out today that in Texas you don't have to The HOA doesn't have to be recorded. It can be imposed on you after the fact as well, which I think is horrific. Ray, you said you're a retired colonel from the Air Force and you're a fighter pilot, and you've been asking questions, and they don't particularly like that, right?
Well, that's very true. I have asked numerous questions about primarily the budget and the cost of the management company, and I have finally been censored in the element of do not send letters or queries or emails or anything that way. They will not answer the mail for me, is what I'm saying.
They won't answer the mail. You need to get a little closer, Ray.
All right.
Now you're coming across nice and strong. They won't answer the mail. They don't want you to ask questions. They don't want to give you information. There's no rhyme or reason for having an association, and yet you're being assessed, and you're paying the management company, and the management company is there basically to control your behavior. Do I understand you correctly?
That's absolutely true, and we just pay annual dues at this time frame. And before the management company came board in May of 2005, we had quite a savings account building up, you know, monies to be used within the HOA. And now that kitty is going down to where we'll have to be assessed in the near term or increase the annual dues to pay for the management company.
Do you need to be managed, Ray? I mean, you're a retired colonel in the Air Force.
Well, from my viewpoint and my family and my wife, that's a no, because both my wife and myself are professional people, and I would say 95% of the people living in the neighborhood of 261 homes are all professional people, have a lot of pride. That's why they all bought in the neighborhood in the first place. But now the feeling of a lot of younger people, we have to be managed.
It's the younger people who want to be managed? Is that what you said?
Predominantly, that's yes. The younger people are on the board, and they're the ones that say we need to be managed. And you come back and say, would you invest your money into a company that didn't have upper management? And they say the 261 homes in the neighborhood are much like a company, so you need managers at the top to manage, to make sure people take care of their places and do the things they should do. But on the other hand, all people have a lot of pride. That's why they bought here in the first place. And we don't need that management. We can handle our own affairs.
I think what you're seeing is probably the second generation. These are people who were brought up in an association. And God help us, they don't know what it's like to be able to live in a real home. They were raised in a unit, and that sounds like that's what they want to impose on everyone else.
Well, that is very true, and as you say, second generations. And it's a lot of young people. There's quite a few in here, first-time homeowners, things that way. And they come back and say they have a full-time job, house payment, car payments, family things, and they don't have time to devote to it, so we need somebody to manage us. But yet, the pride of each homeowner, if you were to drive through the neighborhood, I think you'd find it's well-kept and kept up. And there's always 1% to 2% of people you have to coach and help, and there's always reasons why they're not maintaining their yard. It may be business travels, maybe sickness, it may be death. But if you work with the people, you'll normally find they'll jump right in and be part of the neighborhood too.
So am I understanding you? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it almost, reading between the lines, it almost sounds like what you're saying is that far from fostering a sense of community, that the association is actually divisive. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
You're saying the neighborhood's what now?
Divisive. It's instead of being a community, you're sort of ending up being enemies.
Well, it is neighbor against neighbor in many ways, and then there's a lot of apathy now. Neighbors that oppose it are just laying back and waiting for an assessment or for dues to go up. And then I think they'll stand up and be counted. It's people like myself that are retired to kind of stay on the, you know, the front line, trying to guard the neighborhood and make it a better place. We got city laws, we got county laws, codes, and regulations. What do we need another layer of management to tell us how to manage our homes?
Another layer of government. Sherry, when I talked to you the other night, you you're sort of opposed. You don't want to hear the horror stories. You want to go a little bit beyond the horror stories, down to the heart of the matter. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I think what we need to bring out here is, fortunately, our CCNRs are written for the homeowner. They are in the favor of the homeowner. And when I bought my home, I looked at the CCRs and I read them, and our CCNRs and deed restrictions are only 29 pages long. So that goes to tell you right there that there's not a lot of restrictions within our neighborhood. Yet there are people that feel on the board that these restrictions need to be brought into the neighborhood. They can't do it legally, so they've hired this management company to try to force everybody to follow their rules and their restrictions. And if they don't follow them, they've threatened to fine us. And I just don't think it's right. I bought my house in this neighborhood because of the deed restrictions and the CCNRs that were there. I expect the board to follow them, even though they don't like them. And I will follow them as well by paying my annual dues assessment. And the more I started looking into this and finding out that the neighborhood really shouldn't even really have an HOA because we don't have any common areas, I feel like it should be dissolved. I also feel like later on down the road, more and more people, one of the neighbors in here is a real estate agent, and she's telling me that she's hearing from more people, I don't want to buy in an HOA. Please don't show me any homes in an HOA.
Well, when I talked to Donna Carver earlier, she said that her house was unsellable because it was in an HOA. You, Sherry, you sent me some stuff. You emailed me some documents, and I find this really interesting. The association, usually the association or the board, through the board, has the authority to adopt and promulgate rules that pertain to the common areas, and basically your governing documents say the same thing. In your case, they call it the perimeter areas, common area landscaping and personal conduct of member and their guests, usually upon these common areas. And the board here says this is a killer. What do they want to do? How do they, they don't have time to serve. They don't have time to do this, that, and the other. Yet they want to take on more responsibility. They don't just want to adopt rules regarding the common areas. What do they want to do?
Well, what they want to do is they want to try to, in one case in our neighborhood, we had a gentleman that put up one of those nice wooden swing sets. You know, you've all seen them. They're nice and tall, and they got the nice big ladders and the poles for the kids to climb down on them. And, you know, there's a lot of people in our neighborhood that have those here. In fact, there's 29 residents that have those type of swing sets out of 261 homes. It just so happens that this person that put the swing set up, and by the way, there are no deed restrictions that say you cannot put a swing set up in our HOA, in our CCNRs. This gentleman put up a swing set. The board sued him. Well, it just so happened that he happened to live behind a board member. So they spent HOA money, approximately $9,000 in legal fees and all that out of our HOA money, to sue this poor gentleman that put the swing set up for his kids to play on, just because they didn't like it. So what they want to try to do is they want to try to create these rules and these restrictions. Now, this case ended up settling out of court, and the HOA ended up saying, we'll pay our legal fees, you pay your legal fees. If you take the swing set down, we'll be done with it. And the gentleman agreed to that. But I believe if it would have gone on to court, they would have lost, because there's no reason why they can do that. And that's what they're trying to do. They're singling out certain homeowners. If you put up a shed or if you put up something that they don't like, they will just go ahead and try to sue you. And it's not right. They're not fair to everyone.
So they're arbitrary. They're capricious. That's typical HOAs. I hate to say that, but that's the way they are. Ray, have you ever thought of running for the board?
Yes. That's a story within itself, which I tried. Well, even to back up, prior to moving here, We lived in another neighborhood in East Fort Worth for about 20 years, and I served 18 years on the board there. And when I came here, I initially didn't want to do it. I was a little tired. I did try 2 years ago by proxy votes and the control of the management company, knowing I was against them, I didn't get a board. So consequently, I'm not on the board, and I just still work behind the scenes.
So you were a board member for 18 years. So, folks, I just asked the question because I haven't spoken to Ray before right now. This is right, Ray?
Yes.
So you were a board member for 18 years, so you know what goes on and you know the issues, and these people are whining and complaining because they don't have time for anything, and yet when you volunteer, you're retired, they don't want you on the board.
That is true, and the primary reason they didn't want me on the board, she tried to run too. Did we lose the phone?
No, it's just...
Anyway, they control us by proxy votes, and they put other people on and didn't let us on.
Can you
just add one other thing, Shu, on here, too. Ray was voted the number one homeowner of the year.
2003.
In 2003.
Oh, really?
Yes, he was, in our neighborhood, right here in Brandonwood.
Who does the voting?
Well, the neighbors around here and the current board that was there. He had done a lot of work behind the scenes, and we had some traffic issues and problems, and he worked with the city of North Richland Hills, and he was honored at the annual meeting and given a plaque and an award, and was voted the number one homeowner in Brandonwood. You know, it also had to do with him keeping his property and everything up, and just for all the work he'd done.
So you were the model citizen, but they didn't want you on the board, right, Ray?
That is absolutely true, and I'll share with you a little bit.
I'm sorry, I think that is so funny.
Well, it's funny but sad.
But that's typical of associations, and that's why Sherry doesn't want to talk about the horror story. She wants to go to the heart of the matter. And I think that right there is part of the problem. I mean, you've got a model citizen here who steps up to the plate, who volunteers, but because he has different ideas, maybe, then all of a sudden they don't want you on there, right, Ray?
That is absolutely true. And out of that, I tried to get on in 2006. I had property damage afterwards. It goes on and on. And it's been so bad by one board member, the intimidation, harassment, I've had to go to the expense and put a camera system in, a very high-tech system that protects my property today. And that's sad. I've worked with the police and all that stuff and legal, and to protect my own interest and even bodily harm and threats that way from one board member.
What, were they damaging your property?
They were driving a car in my yard. They also lent the Freon out of one of my air conditioners, and I burned it up by running without Freon in. My mailbox was filled with gravel, and I can go on and on. The things that happened, and I got a pretty good idea who did most of it. But now with the camera system, I'm not getting any intimidation and harassment, and the camera and all was active about 1 December last year, 2007.
So, I've heard of people putting up cameras. In fact, I've even recommended it to people where the board's gone in and just destroyed their property and then cited them for having whatever. I mean, whatever they did, they took their dogs to walk on the property, just damage their property and then fine them for having property that needed to be kept up. So, I mean, it's just totally, totally ridiculous.
Well, the bottom line of this whole thing, and from an HOA viewpoint, they're taking molehills and making mountains out of them, or better yet, they're making a big job out of nothing. And 99% of the issues and things we have in the neighborhood are the type you can talk to people, you can diplomatically work in to where they're nothing. In age today, you sue people. That's the whole thing with this management company.
So, yeah, they've basically killed any sense of community that there is, any sense of cohesion that might have existed otherwise. And that's sad. That is really
it's
sad.
It's sad, and they're still 99% of the people in the neighborhood are just really super people, down-to-earth, real hard-working people trying to, you know, make a living and live in a nice neighborhood and a nice home and all like that. But from the management viewpoint or the company that manages and then someone on the board, and let me share one other thing on the board. When they don't elect somebody at the annual meeting, then they can, by the CCRs, they have the right to appoint somebody, so they appoint their cronies back in and just maintain the same power play.
Have you ever used proxies to take the election away? Because we've done that here, where we've gone door to door and got proxies, and then we just hand them in at the annual election to be counted.
We have tried that when we found out they were doing that, but they had the handle up on us the first year that happened. And then, like the board meeting of, or the annual meeting of November 2007, some of the board members weren't there knowing they didn't have enough proxies. And how we were at the meeting, they're out getting proxies, more proxies. And then they didn't have a quorum and all like that. The meeting was going to be called off. Then they decided to extend the time a little bit. And then these two board members brought more proxies in. So they.
Oh, the games we play, right?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
We're kind of running out of time here. Very briefly, about 30 seconds each, what would your greatest wish be? How would you like to restore community back in your neighborhood?
Well, I'd like to restore community back in our neighborhood by dissolving the HOA, Neighborhood Association, altogether. And I feel that that would have people to respect one another again, and I think the majority of people, I'm hoping, will be with us. We're going to try to do that here in the future. And Ray, you want to?
No, I would sum it up. That's what really needs to be done, and if there's any HOA at all in the near future, it ought to be a volunteer type. And I know people would throw in monies to maintain the four entrances for flowers and things that way, and the rest of it, forget it. We don't need it.
You don't need it. Good luck to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for joining
ma'am.
Us. I wish you all the luck, and thank you for joining us today. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. That's onthecommons, all one word, .us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions. Thanks again for joining us, and see you all next week.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there.
So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine. And enjoy those precious golden years. Stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.